life today.
Barack Obama, the president, hoping to hit the ground running in Saudi Arabia. The speech, we'll see just exactly what it is he's trying to accomplish in Saudi Arabia and talk about that. More debris from Air France, what does this mean? And Sonia Sotomayor trips over the tongue of many an anchor person, a news person. We're going to let you hear a very funny thing that David Letterman put together on his last show. But right from the get-go, it is Wednesday. Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney, America Tonight. Hope you're having a great week so far. If not, guess what? We're on the downside of the week. It means the weekend is closing in, ladies and gentlemen. Joining us every hump day is Easy Ticket Mike to talk a little sports shorts. And, of course, we have NBA basketball and some other things. Hey, Mike, how are you?
I'm doing great, Kate. How are you doing?
Oh, I couldn't be better. Couldn't be better. Hey, and talking about sports, how about that? Dead wrong on who was going to be in the finals as far as the East. I really thought Cleveland was going to be there, too. In fact, I was all over Fox saying that half of the season, and now look how it turns out. You've got Orlando and the Lakers.
Yeah, I was surprised, you know, until, you know, Cleveland dropped those three games there at the start. You know, I thought they were a shoe-in for the title this year, but you know, just wasn't there. David Stern, he's all mad at LeBron now for not talking with the media after that game six, and you know, he's liable to end up finding him. Or of course, it's hard to find the MVP for media violations. So,
but, boy, isn't that the truth? But now it's the Magic. And the Lakers. So good for the people in Orlando who really believed in this team. You know, I used to get a lot of callers, Mike, that would tell me that, like, hey, we're not getting any love down here in Orlando. What's the deal? And so, you know, here you go. Good for the Magic to be there.
During the season, I sold a bunch of Magic tickets to people, and I thought, why are they going to see them?
But they knew something the rest of us didn't know.
Yeah, I can see it now. I mean, I think they're going to take the whole thing.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a good series. I hope it's going to be a good series anyway. And it's interesting you say you did sell a whole bunch of Magic tickets. So I'm assuming for the finals you've got tickets, right?
Yeah, we've got some tickets in place. As a matter of fact, we've got those. We've got some hockey tickets coming up. You know, looks like I think Detroit's going to repeat on the Stanley Cup this year. You know, they're up 2-1 over the Penguins, and they're doing well.
Yeah, I you know, Detroit was my team all along. Not the team I root for, but the team that I thought when I looked at all their lines and then goaltending, of course, with Detroit. You never know, but they just seem too tough for me. I know there's a lot of Pittsburgh fans listening, in fact, because we have a station really close to Pittsburgh. So I hate to disappoint them, but I think Detroit's in the money, too, absolutely. Could go probably 6 games is what I think, and I think you think the same thing, right?
Yeah, I think the Red Wings going to be hoisting the cup this next Tuesday.
Yeah, and baseball, we're in the thick of the baseball season, of course, getting closer and closer to the real, what I call the halfway point at the All-Star break. And it's been interesting to see what's happened. The Dodgers, I had a conversation, I think I told you this, Mike, with Raleigh Fingers, the great pitcher for years and years with the Oakland A's, and I asked him to pick apart the Dodgers for me, and he just raved about how good they were. He said, of course, you know, it's a marathon, not a sprint, and he wouldn't flat out pick anybody, but he talked about the pitching, and the pitching for the Dodgers has been pretty good, certainly good enough for them to stay ahead in the NL anyway, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're doing great. You know, they're in a kind of a weak division, but they're, you know, way out in front of everybody wins wise. They're you know, but the Rangers, I mean, I went to see them last Saturday night. Went to the they played Oakland and beat them 14-1. And, you know, they were, the Rangers are looking really good right now. Of course, it's we just got through May and we're into June, and it was still, we don't have that horrendous heat here in the summer, the Texas summer yet. I mean, that's what the Rangers always do really good before the All-Star break, and then they just fizzle.
Yeah, no kidding. And taking on the Yankees, many of our friends listening in the New York area are probably out at that series. And the most interesting thing, I think, in the last series, when, of course, you had the Yankees in Texas, is the fact that Alex Rodriguez has a new squeeze mic, and it's apparently Kate Hudson.
Mm-hmm, yeah. Well, Rangers beat Yankees tonight 4-2.
Yeah, how about that?
So, like I said, the Rangers are looking really good, but, Kate Hudson sounds better than the Rangers.
And everybody had binoculars looking for her all over the crowd with her son. It's the big gossip story. It's, I think, very, very funny. And, of course, again, you can go to easy-ticket.com. Again, easy-ticket.com to get seats to any of the things that we were talking about, any of the baseball teams, et cetera. And it's not just about sports, but a lot of people, especially in the summer, I think, and I don't know, but I used to work for a rock promoter who had some really – They had territories, and he had the East Coast. He had a big chunk of the East Coast. And he told me the summer was a really high time for concerts, even though, you know, certainly they're in indoor arenas and there's bands all year long and all that sort of stuff. But I don't know. There's something about maybe teenagers being off and people taking vacations or just a summer night to go listen. But do you think that's true, that a lot of people go to see concerts in the summer?
Yeah, and a lot of groups, they tour in the summer. You know, I just picked up a bunch of tickets for Stone Temple Pilots. They're coming back together. And they're playing, they're not playing a tremendous number of cities, but they're playing out in California. I got some for Las Vegas. They're playing there at the Pearl Theater. So, that group, they did tremendous, before, but they've come back together and they're going to be out on tour. I hope they end up coming through here in Texas. But like I said, I think they're touring about 10 cities right now.
All right, so Stone Temple Pilots, you heard Mike, he's got tickets to that. Eric Clapton, we talked about before, and Pink, of course, going on tour as well. So for seats, concerts, sporting events, all that stuff, to any of the things that we just talked about, go to easy-ticket.com. Hey, you have a terrific rest of the week, Mike.
You too, Kate.
Thank you.
Bye.
80,000 events. Wow. You know what's interesting about that? If you're a ticket broker, too, we'll have to ask, we'll have to talk more about the whole ticket broker thing with Mike sometime. But you have to choose kind of what you think people are going to want. So especially with sports, you're prognosticating as to who may be in the playoffs and what might happen. So the Magic, I think, stunned a lot of people, not fans of the team, because certainly they had a good team, and if you watched them play during the year, you couldn't completely dismiss them. But as far as emerging from the East, most people were really pointing to the Cavaliers, including myself. I didn't think that Orlando was going to be there, and lo and behold, there they are. Coming up next, boy, you're going to love this next guest, Wayne Cruz. He wrote 10,000 Commandments. It's an annual look at federal regulations and just how ridiculous they are and how much it's costing us. Let's push for some deregulation. He's next on ATN.
If you've always wanted to experience the amazing benefits from using oil of oregano, the time to act is now. With so many places to choose from, where can you be 100% certain you're getting the highest quality oil for your dollar? The answer is simple. PureBulk.com. PureBulk.com brings you ultra-pure, non-diluted oil of oregano with 80% or better carvacrol. PureBulk.com also carries over 120 nutritional products, including atomic iodine, amino acids, herbal extracts, extracts, and heart health, all made with no fillers, additives, or fancy packaging, saving you 50 to 90% over store-bought supplements. With each order, PureBulk.com will send you one dram of atomic iodine, a 150-day supply, absolutely free. Just enter promotional code iodine at website checkout. Visit PureBulk.com, that's PureBulk.com, or call 406-251-3270, 406-251-3270 today.
The phone rings and the questions are asked. I've been so sick. Will the Life Change Tea help me? Our answer is always the same. Yes, toxins and chemicals from food, water, and air are attacking you this very moment. Fight back with our all-natural detoxifying tea that works immediately. Many companies use gimmicks and misleading free trials for their campaign. We use results. Life Change Tea's formula, created by a PhD, has been around for over 20 years. There are things happening in the world that are unseen and not healthy. The public has reached its all-time record for chronic sickness. This atrocity won't change unless you call us right now. Our number is 928-308-0408. Again, that's 928-308-0408. Or you can order online at getthetea.com. That's getthetea.com. And remember, we have the cheapest shipping in the industry.
Before you throw away your used batteries, you need to listen to this. Now, going green can save money. Go green and save money by giving life to your used batteries by charging them with the Renaissance Charger. The Renaissance Charger uses a new revolutionary battery charging technology that effectively extends the life of new batteries and gives new life to used batteries. Invented by legendary audio genius John Bedini, this unique and patented charging system rejuvenates the electrochemical plate structure in the battery without additives, increasing capacity and maintaining cell integrity. Renaissance Charge offers a full line of products made in the USA for all types and sizes of batteries. Find out why our customers tell us the Renaissance Charger is the only battery charger they will ever use. Save your money. Save the environment. Visit us online at r-charge.com. That's r-charge.com, or call us at 989-637-4179. That's 989-637-4179. Be a part of the revolution today.
Everybody, Kate Delaney, America Tonight. Regulations, regulations, ridiculous amounts of regulations killing us economically. Where is Congress when you need them to find these things? It's interesting. I saw a note on this report that's put out from the Competitive Enterprise Institute, and good for them for picking up all this stuff. You know, federal regulations hit us with a whopping $1.17 trillion last year, and that means paying that. We're talking about compliance burdens on Americans. Ooh, yeah. If they would remove some of them, roll them back, whatever, imagine the money that we would save. Because when you talk about a number like $1.17 trillion, and if you could chunk away at that, some of what we're feeling perhaps would go away. Yeah. You know, federal agencies, and I was stunned by this, actually had 3,830 rules in 2008. So you start to multiply that. In fact, with the new Federal Register, which is where it's a book, basically, that has all the rules, do you know it's at 79,435 pages. Whew. Ridiculous. Anyway, we're hoping to catch up with Wayne Cruz, and we'll find out more about that. But in a nutshell, I'd say that's found money, and somebody needs to do something to figure out a way where we can chunk out some of the cost of those regulations, because it doesn't make any sense whatsoever. Well, this might not be surprising. Because Obama is in the Middle East, what, of course, would naturally happen? Osama bin Laden would rear his ugly head, yes. Is he alive? Is he dead? All that other sort of stuff. Well, another tape is out of Osama bin Laden, and all the world is watching to see what Barack Obama is doing on this trip in the Middle East. The Egyptians were all a-Twitter, excited for Obama, who is absolutely, as far as the Middle East is concerned, one of the most popular American presidents in a very long time. So there's this visit to Egypt, and of course Obama's already touched down in Saudi Arabia, but the speech is in Egypt, and a lot of people anxious to hear what Obama has to say. Now, for the bin Laden message, not a surprise that this tape would pop up coinciding with his trip. Pretty much, the White House is, you know, has obviously sent this for analysis to make sure that the voice sounds like bin Laden's. That's what happens every single time one of these tapes pop up. And the message says that the U.S. policy on Pakistan has generated seeds of hatred. And that's always what the message is. It's pretty consistent with what we've seen since 9/11 from Al-Qaeda. That whole counterterrorism thing, the U.S. and other countries are involved in that. And so the harder they push, the more things start to get released and trickle out, like the bin Laden tapes here and there. And whenever there's something big going on, some kind of stage that the bin Laden folks can use, they use it. So the tape aired on Al Jazeera. And, of course, they're checking that, the voice recording by bin Laden, for the authenticity, which is what they always do. And when Obama is now in, and he is, in the Middle East, visiting Saudi Arabia today, and he's now, right now, because it is early there, Egypt, Thursday, and that's where he's going to make a major speech to the Muslim world. We'll have all of that, of course, for you here on America Tonight. The main message, of course, is the push the president has for the Israeli-Palestinian peace agreement, to make some kind of a peace agreement. And also to talk about Iran, I believe, as well. And on the heels of that, you also have Ahmadinejad coming out again and saying the Holocaust is made up, and, you know, goes on a diatribe about how the Holocaust isn't real. And I'll tell you some more specifics about that. But I think we're going to hear a lot on this bin Laden tape that will, like I said, consistently coincide with what's happening with Obama's trip. Because if you remember, Al Jazeera aired three separate segments, and they were about 4 minutes long. From what it seems to me, as I was trying to get bits and pieces of this before I came on the air, it's an old still picture of him. And the network anchor took part in describing the segments before they ran. It wasn't posted on the Islamic websites that usually carry statements from Al-Qaeda. So they think that this latest message was hand-delivered to Al Jazeera, to the television network in Qatar. In the other purported bin Laden messages, the last one I guess came out in March, he called for Somalia's new president to be overthrown and called Israel's recent attack in Gaza a Holocaust. So there have been a lot of messages over the years, but the last video message from him was early in September of 2007. Instead, it's just this still that we've seen. So it does make you wonder. You have a still and you have the voice, but you have, of course, in trying to check its authenticity, the events that are unfolding, if specifically he's talking about Obama and Pakistan and all that stuff, the pre-recordedness of it, how could it be pre-recorded if they have such great equipment, which apparently they do, for making sure precisely the voice patterns, then he has to be alive. There have been these gaps, though, and with these audio messages, that make people think he might be dead. However, if you look at any of the counterterrorism people, or if you talk to any of the counterterrorism people, they say that the latest bin Laden tape, while the words are different from other messages, they recycle the broad messages of the past. So they're looking closely at this to see if it's, you know, again, it's on the money, or it's something that could have been finagled with. But I don't see how it could be finagled, see, because with the specific events, how could you possibly twist that? How could you possibly know that Obama, one was president, one was coming to Saudi Arabia and Egypt and all that stuff in between? Yes, you could have the broad themes, but if you're splicing things together to make it sound like him, I don't know. I think that'd be pretty tough. So I'm going to say it's probably authentic. And they'll come out, and that's usually what happens in a day or two, and say, yeah, this is authentic. Man, when, oh, when will the U.S. or somebody else get bin Laden? How does a guy like bin Laden elude everyone for this long? How does that happen? I mean, yes, I know nobody cares about the bounty on his head, and he has rabid followers, and there's the caves and the area that we're talking about is pretty vast, and you could secretly hide someone and theoretically anyway move them around. But I would think at some point somebody slips up. Doesn't everybody, whether they're a crazy nutball leader of a terrorist group or some other thief or murderer or person who's done something wrong, don't they eventually trip up somehow? I think so. Go back in history and look at some of the worst crimes that have ever been committed against man, and usually the person is uncovered. In this case, like I said, and I know it's the Middle East, I know we're talking about a vast region, but the fact that nothing has happened is just mind-boggling, just mind-boggling. Hey, we're also going to talk about Nancy Reagan on tonight's show, let you hear what she had to say earlier in the day. I was watching that, and they unveiled the statue of Ronald Reagan, the former president, and she was, I think, just overwhelmed by the whole thing. She started to talk. She was in the Capitol Rotunda, and she started off. She was fine. Then she got pretty emotional, saying that the last time that she was there was for Reagan's memorial. And you know, you think of when Reagan died, we're talking about June of 2004 when Reagan passed away. And the statue, boy, it's a dead-on likeness of the former president. I mean, of course, that's not a surprise, but I'll let you hear that. Nancy Reagan, one of those first ladies, I think, that people either admired or thought she seemed like she always backed up her husband anyway. There's no doubt about it. They had an amazing love affair. I think I said that on our last show. Coming up next, though, we're going to check in about Air France and let you know where all that stands. Hang with us here on ATN.
Did you know many vitamin and mineral supplements on the market are made from rocks and ground up shells? Think about that. Would you swallow a handful of shells you found at the beach? Our body wasn't designed to digest rocks and shells. Hello, my name is Dr. David Friedman, formulator of Choose for Health, a delicious tasting chewable dietary supplement derived from 16 fruits, vegetables, and antioxidants. Unlike hard-to-digest pills, Choose for Health is a convenient chewable which allows for better digestion. The choice is yours. Swallow rocks and shells to supplement your diet or a natural chewable product you can better digest. Choose for Health, the world's first superfruit, sea vegetable, antioxidant chewable. Whole food nutrition, not rocks and shells. 1-800-210-1922. Call now and receive a free copy of my best-selling CD, America's Unbalanced Diet. 1-800-210-1922. Or go to orderchoose.com.
You're listening to GCN. Genesis Communications Radio Network.
You already know that drinking pure, high-alkaline pH water is the most important factor in maintaining high energy and vibrant health. Most experts agree that the water you drink should be at a pH level of 8 or higher. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops combine a unique formula of the most alkaline ingredients. Using plasma pH drops is one of the best ways to make your water alkaline, to help you get rid of acid and regain your health and energy. Simply put 10 drops per liter of water you drink to raise the pH to the ultimate level. Alkalizing water helps your body rid itself of acidic waste and increases the oxygen content of your body. Disease organisms like bacteria and cancer cannot survive in an alkaline, high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops now by going directly to AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Or by calling 269-216-9767. 269-216-9767 today.
I was drinking more than I should, and I knew it. I just made excuses and wrote it off as stress from work or problems at home. I thought I was functional, but then I realized that just being functional wasn't any kind of life at all. That's when I heard about a free CD from the National Institute for Alcohol Recovery. Turns out it's different from anything else out there, including 12-step or hypnosis. It's based on the latest research, and it really turned things around for me.
This free alcohol recovery CD tells you about everything you need to succeed in the privacy of your own home. We guarantee it. We are so sure of your success with our alcohol recovery program that if you can find a better home recovery program anywhere, we'll pay for it. So you have absolutely nothing to lose. For a free CD, call 1-800-309-0958. That's 1-800-309-0958. 1-800-309-0958.
With food prices soaring to all-time highs, as the dollar continues to fall in value, what can you and your family do to guarantee that fresh, nutritious vegetables will make it to your dinner table? Garden in a Can. Garden in a Can is your source for premium, long-term storable seeds. Garden in a Can is ready when you are. Plant them now or store them for when you really need them. There are 16 large, hermetically sealed, non-hybrid, open-pollinated packets of seeds, along with detailed planting instructions sealed in a can for ultimate long-term protection. Garden in a Can. It's that simple. Fresh, healthy, easy. Only $69.95 for over a half acre of safe, fresh vegetables. Ready when you are. Stop procrastinating and start preparing with Garden in a Can. For more details, visit GardenInACan.com today. That's GardenInACan.com or call 866-598-7396, 866-598-7396.
Did you know that businesses spent $1.17 trillion, I'm not making up this number, last year to comply with all of the federal regulations? Did you also know that your government spent another $49 and change billion-wise to actually enforce those regulations, the compliance of them? Crazy, isn't it? And then the comparison, I love this. The total spent on regulation is certainly on par with Canada's entire 2006 gross domestic product of $1.265 trillion. I'm not making up these numbers. In fact, that's part of an op-ed piece that was put together by Wayne Cruz, our next guest, who wrote 10,000 Commandments, an annual snapshot of the federal regulatory state. I'd say it's in a state of chaos, really. Hey, Wayne, thanks for joining us on the show.
Hey, thank you for having me. I appreciate it. You know, maybe I should have subtitled 10,000 Commandments, Where Are We Going and Why Are We in This Handbasket?
Really? No kidding. It's ridiculous.
Well, it looks rough, and I mean, for a little bit of perspective on it, it was just last year in 2008 that George Bush proposed the first ever $3 trillion budget, and then with the bailouts that started happening late last year, that got kicked up to close to $4 trillion, and then Obama introduced a budget that now the CBO says is going to be $4 trillion. So it's unprecedented levels of government spending and government regulation. We had to go from the founding fathers all the way to Reagan before we even got a $1 trillion federal budget. But it's just rocketed over the last few years.
Yeah, and what, so the first thing, The first thing I thought of, I didn't interrupt you, Wayne, but the first thing I thought of is exactly what you talk about is, wouldn't it make sense to have some deregulation?
Well, that's what we're trying to propose here. Basically, you're talking about $1.2 trillion in regulatory costs every year coming from a record-high Federal Register. It's now at close to 80,000 pages. It's never been that high before. The Federal Register is the daily depository of all the agency's rules. And there's 50-plus departments, agencies, and commissions. And these are like the alphabet soup agencies, the EPA, the FDA, the OSHA, the SEC. All of those rules add up, and there are close to 4,000 of them a year that are coming out from these agencies. So what we said is, rather than all this spending stimulus that we're seeing, that we've seen since late last year, actually early last year, because Bush and the Republicans, Democrats all alike pushed that $145 billion stimulus last year, the one that we all got our tax rebate checks from.
Right.
But since then, when the economy really tanked and we started the bailout, the TARP bailouts, and then the automobile bailout, and the Federal Reserve started pumping out new money, after all of that occurred, what we tried to make the point of was, rather than a spending stimulus, what we need is a deregulatory stimulus, or to liberate, to stimulate. And the way to approach that, I think, is to look at what is it that the government is supposed to do. It's not supposed to be the things we see now, where the federal government's taken a huge role in financial services, in the automobile industry with the takeover there, with new energy efficiency standards for automobiles at exactly the time that that industry can't afford it. This cap and trade program that hearings were held on just a couple of weeks ago. And now Obama is talking about new government regulation of cybersecurity, which means massive new regulation of infrastructure and telecom potentially. He's now pushing the health care reform program again. So you've seen virtually every wealth-creating sector in the economy or in society, this administration is pushing massive new government controls. Mm. That's not the way to create wealth and to liberalize the economy, protect individual liberty, and do all of those good things and protect all those values we want to protect. Instead, I think what you need is to step back, look at what government's real role is, which is protection, and figure out ways of extracting it and getting it out of these sectors that it ought not be involved in so much, and think about what it takes for a small business to create wealth. They need certainty. They need regulators off their back. They need Sarbanes-Oxley regulations, of accounting rolled back so that they can go public much more easily. So a lot of things like that. One way to do it is a regulatory reduction commission, to roll back a lot of the most onerous rules. We need regulatory report cards. We just need to focus on this massive regulatory state, basically.
All right. So you know this. When you start to talk about stuff like deregulation, and I like your suggestions, I think they're terrific, you have to have some people on the Hill that are interested in the same thing. Have you found a few friends?
Right. Right. There are some. For example, there's effort. The times you see deregulation or liberalization or regulatory rollback or whatever they call it is when governors get interested. And that happened in the mid-90s with unfunded mandates that were driving the states crazy. And there's a new unfunded mandates bill, as it happens, which is a welcome sign. And so you see a few things like that. You see efforts to deregulate telecommunications or efforts to make sure that the Internet stays unregulated. Occasionally there's a campaign to liberalize electricity delivery and things like that. But it's nothing comprehensive. And often it goes in the wrong direction, like it does with energy efficiency or automobiles or the rolling out more electrical capacity. Or especially financial services with new regulations proposed there. We just passed new regulations on credit card companies that are restricting credit. So a lot of the things we do are haphazard. They're industry by industry without any thinking of the broad economy. And so we get this growth in regulations like weeds in all of these different areas. But we've really got to roll it back and think about what it is that What are the basic principles that allow small businesses and individuals to, to put their resources together and create wealth? It's almost like you don't have to tell the grass to grow. You just have to take the rock off the top of it. And that's really something we have to do.
Yeah, and it's funny. You look at small businesses, and Wayne, you certainly know this. I forget what the number is, but it's pretty high. Most of America is comprised of the people make their living through small businesses because the definition of a small business is 500 people or less, and it's
right.
I think it's like 95%, and that's where a lot of the profit was. So you kill the small business, you're killing a lot of what makes America thrive.
Indeed, that's really true. And one of the problems is that heavy regulation can be, if you're a large company, if you're a giant company, you can deal with regulations. You know, you can put up with Sarbanes-Oxley because you can hire a swarm of accountants and lawyers to deal with it, or you can deal with onerous EPA rules, whereas a smaller company could not. So, you know, that's one of the problems is since regulations have differential effects, you can run into problems where some businesses, you know, do what's called rent seeking, or they're, you know, they lobby for favors for their industry that ends up hurting others. And that, you know, that can happen in a lot of areas. It's happening in cap and trade. I mean, just look at some of the big energy companies that are pushing for cap and trade, even though it's horrible for consumers. It's a, you know, tax on everyone, tax on energy use, energy production, tax on heavy manufacturing, and all sorts of things. And that can happen with a lot of issues like them, like privacy or like the Sarbanes-Oxley accounting standards. I mean, if you're one of the big accounting firms or auditing firms, you love that. That's a big boon for you.
Yeah.
So that's one of the problems is the differential effects.
I think one of the most shocking things is, and the report lists, you know, highlights some of the things to try to give people a sense of how bad it is when I saw this one statement that was pulled out. Federal regulations ate practically almost 10% of what the U.S. Mm-hmm. economy produced last year. That's stunning.
That's right. And that's just an estimate. I mean, it's a lot of the cost numbers come from the Small Business Administration. One of the good things that they do is they ask businesses to submit comments every year. And I think the program is called R3 for like reduce and reform regulation, I believe is what the acronym stands for. But they ask people to present the most onerous rules and ways of rolling them back. But when you put together the cost of regulation with the amount the federal government is spending now, the federal government is chewing up a lot more than that 10%. It's closer to 30%. It's 29% that the federal government eats up. And that's not even counting state and local taxes and regulation. But so you end up with the government sector consuming or taking over a huge chunk of the potential wealth-creating capacity of the nation. And, you know, that's bad for everything. It's bad for employment, bad for job prospects, bad for college graduates, bad for the kids who've got to deal with all these deficits in the future. I mean, just think about this. That with the new revisions from the CBO, we're running close to a $2 trillion deficit this year. Just last year, the deficit was already gigantic. It was $450 billion, something like that. But right now for it to shoot up to $2 trillion is just unthinkable. I mean, what that means for the future, we've really got to get our act together in thinking about ways of rolling back all of this intervention, or it's going to be real tough in the future.
Yeah, boy, no kidding. We have like a minute left. What can people do that are listening to this?
Well, I think, you know, obviously, you know, the typical things, let Small Business Administration, let your members of Congress know about rules that are driving you crazy if you're a business person. And there are a lot of them. I mean, the credit card rules, potential regulations on privacy, regulations on behavioral advertising, new accounting regulations that seem to keep pouring forth. So, you know, look for ways to roll back, but push for things like mandates reform, more congressional accountability for rules, the most onerous rules like CAFE standards or cap and trade rules that come out of the agencies ought to go back to Congress for an up-down vote rather than just become enacted.
Right. I absolutely agree. We're out of time, but I absolutely agree. That's just a little bit of what you can do. Wayne, thanks. We appreciate it. Hang with us, everyone.
Silver is mankind's oldest natural antibiotic. This very special mineral has been used for centuries by most cultures throughout the world. Utopia, Texas is home to a small but mighty supplement company called Utopia Silver, who offers colloidal products produced in distilled water without use of animal protein, nitrates, or saline solutions. Because our colloidal silver is made up of nano-sized particles, it can be better utilized at the cellular level, and germs can't mutate to be resistant like they can to modern-day antibiotics. Utopia Silver has a broad range of health supplements, including colloidal silver, gold, and copper, with a money-back guarantee on the colloidal products we produce. For 4 years, Utopia Silver has been fighting in the Texas courts against agencies that would steal our God-given rights of health care and freedom of speech. Visit us today at utopiasilver.com. That's UTOPIA silver.com, or call 888-213-4338, 888-213-4338, and help us win this battle.
If you owe the IRS, you can't make the problem go away without professional help. But with the help of Dan Pilla, you can get your problem solved.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been solving tax debt problems for 30 years, and I can help you too. We can stabilize IRS collection action and get your tax debt reduced, sometimes completely eliminated. And if you received a 1099 from a bank because of mortgage or other debt forgiveness, the vast majority of the time, I can show you how to completely erase it so you pay no taxes on what the IRS will consider to be taxable income. Call us for a free consultation to discuss the many possibilities. Call 1-800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NOTAX. Or go to my website at taxhelponline.com.
Dan Pilla has been protecting taxpayers from the IRS for 3 decades, and he can help you. Call us today, 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
Call 877-394-6657. KidSeeds.net. KidSeeds.net. If you can't grow your own seeds, you're in trouble.
We may be headed for another Great Depression this summer of 2009. You need to grow your own food or you're in trouble. I sell non-GMO, heirloom, chemical-free seeds, and mine is the best deal around. You get 100 vegetable seed packets for the incredible price of $49. That's only 49 cents for each packet. Start your garden now. GetSeeds.net.
Call 877-394-6657.
On the same page as I am. We talk about this all the time on America Tonight. And, of course, what is that? The fact that we're leaving way too much debt burden on our children. And part of the reason why is because too much bloody regulation. As you can see, when you're talking about the amount of regulations and the compliance, it's ridiculous. That number is staggering. What was that number? $1.17 trillion to comply with regulations, federal regulations, and then, of course, to enforce them, toss in almost another $50 billion. That's insane. There's got to be a way to cut that back. And then you think about this. You have the Federal Register, and it comes in at almost 80,000 pages, which is an all-time record. Then I wonder how much it cost to produce that, too, by the way. How many trees were cut down? So Cruz is the VP for policy at the Competitive Enterprise Institute, and he says what I tell you all the time: you can affect change, and the way you do that is if you're sick of it, you've had enough of it, you call your congressman, you call your senator, you call your governor, you go, you make the effort and go to the people who are representing you. That's it. That's what you do. And trust me, if enough people do that, it honestly makes a difference, believe it or not, right? You know, you heard Wayne Cruz say that from the time of our founding fathers all the way up to Reagan, until you get to Reagan, $1 trillion, that's it. From the very beginning of our government up to Reagan. And now look where it's gone since then. And speaking of Reagan, I mentioned this before that Nancy Reagan was super emotional, the former first lady, when they unveiled the statue of the former president, Ronald Reagan, because the last time I think she had been in the Capitol, she mentioned it, was for his memorial. So, you know, she spends her time in California, not that she doesn't travel, but doesn't spend a lot of time in D.C., so this was a big moment for her, certainly, and it was a big moment, I think, for the nation, too, because she was somebody that a lot of people felt something for when you talk about all-time first ladies. Now, you might disagree. Seems like everybody has their favorite first lady. But there were a lot of people that really liked Nancy Reagan. Here's what she had to say at that statue unveiling.
Thank you so much. I have so many people to thank, but I really particularly want to thank Nancy Pelosi for all she did to organize this, bring it together, make it happen. I'm very grateful to her and to everybody else too, but especially to Nancy. The statue is a wonderful likeness of Ronnie, and he would be so proud. You know, the last time that I was in this room was for Ronnie's service. So it's nice to be back under happier circumstances. I want to thank everybody for being here and for your support, your thoughts, and your kind wishes, and everything that's been said here today, and the lovely, lovely singing. So beautiful. Thank you so much.
All right, so that's Nancy Reagan, and again, expressing her gratitude, you could hear, for the people that had come out for the ceremony. There was a ceremony but of a different sort, but it was certainly much more somber and obviously really rough for some people. There was a memorial for the victims of the flight, Air France 447, that happened at Notre Dame in Paris. This was a flight that was headed to Paris from Rio de Janeiro. And in Brazil, you have, you know, so many people that are crawling all over the place, and the water's not too far away, including the NTSB, because they've accepted an invitation to look at the, you know, look at the accident and help with the investigation of it. You know, that's what they do. They're finding pieces from the plane, and they'll take all the wreckage they can find, lay it out, and piece it out, and try to figure out with this debris what it was that brought down the flight. They found an airplane seat, an orange float, and they're starting to discover other kinds of things that are starting to surface as a result of that accident. And, of course, they really desperately want those recorders, the black box especially, but you've got heavy winds to contend with and rough seas and all that sort of stuff. Right now, you have 11 planes and 5 ships that are searching all over the place. Airplanes from France and the United States, mostly, I think, with this whole recovery thing. And we've talked about this, and we had a pilot on the other night, that the aircraft's computer system did send out about 4 minutes or so of automated messages that where they were saying there was a loss of cabin pressure and an electrical failure. So it was about that. And if you remember, the pilot who we had on, who's flown that route, talked about the fact that when that happens with the plane, I loved his analogy because it brings it home for you to think about, what happens? It's like losing power steering, and what do you do when that happens? There's nothing you can do, and apparently there was nothing they could do, but they want to get those last minutes because it just disappeared. And strangely enough, too, there was, of course, the severe lightning storm. There was high winds, and foul play even has not been eliminated, folks. It's not thrown out yet at this point. Because Air France had received a bomb threat, apparently, on May 27th for a flight from Buenos Aires, Argentina, to Paris. And they're looking into that and looking into, obviously, what could have possibly happened with this aircraft. As I said, in getting as much materials as they can, I've seen this before, they'll put it in a hangar and they'll piece it together. They'll piece together the plane to try to check and figure out what it was to be able, and that's what those investigators do. And the ocean depth in the area that we're talking about is about almost 10,000 feet. That makes it pretty, pretty tough. You're going to need some time to try to reach the recorders. You know, what happens is the recorders are built so that you can have that locator signal come up for about 30 days. And the French government sent one of their ships carrying one of those deep diving submersible things where the debris is so they can go all the way down. Sometimes they find them, but there are times when, despite all the things we're saying, they have the 30 days, they're not always so optimistic that they can find it because the part of the ocean is not only deep, but they say it's very mountainous if you're there on the bottom of the ocean there. Boy, I hope they find that box. Because the one thing that, and I don't know, then this is me, and I'm sure some of you may have this same way of thinking. It's always about the why for me. You know, well, what happened? Why did that happen? What happened? And for the people who lost people on that flight, I think it's better. There's something about closure, about knowing. It's still sad. It doesn't bring them back, all that sort of stuff. But to at least know, okay, here's what happened. It was a brutal accident. It was the weather. It was whatever. It's a different thing if you're talking about some kind of a terroristic attack. If it turns out that there was some sort of a bomb, I mean, the theory has been floated around that it was a bomb, and a lot of experts are saying it doesn't look that way, but that's it. It's just a theory. It's just a guess. It's just a best guess because you still have to recover most of that debris. You got to piece it together to have a better clue as to what it was. Very sad, too, a couple of Americans who were active people and really reached out to their community and seemed to be, from all these accounts, a very, very happy couple that gave back as much as they could. And unfortunately for them, it was a fateful flight. So flight 447, what happened, we may not know for a very long time. You can send me your thoughts on anything that we talk about here on the show, americatonight.net.